Okay. It is 1:54. It's the Bob and Dan radio program with the great Donovan and Tony. What show does he watch? I can't remember that.
Fancy Weather Stars.
Oh, yeah. We're out at the Diamond Doctor today, the big Tacori designer event going on today and tomorrow. You got to get out here. Good times. All right. So we've put aside this time for our 15 for 15, kind of playing off the ESPN 30 for 30 bit. We've been on the air for 15 years. Throughout the year, we'll have 15 little documentary style pieces put together for you. Jake and the great Donovan do most of the legwork on this stuff. We lie back and listen. We've aired four of them so far. They were Rocco versus Gordo on the rant, the origin of bad radio, the Rusty Greer flyball challenge, and the Brett Hull prank on Bob. Those were some legendary things. You can see those on bobanddan.com also when you click on the 15 for 15 link. This month's features our very good friend, Dirk.
What if I told you that a 7-foot teenager from Wurzburg, Germany, transplanted to Dallas, would develop a truly unique and lasting friendship with a radio show comprised of its own set of carpetbaggers? What if I told you that the rise to prominence of one of the greatest players in NBA history would mirror the rise of two talk show hosts? And that these luminaries of their own lanes would sit down each year for a long chat. This is the story of Dirk on Bad Radio. The year was 1998. In that year's NBA draft, the Mavericks and Don Nelson had swung a draft day trade to acquire 19-year-old German 7-footer Dirk Nowitzki. Around this same time, the ticket acquired Bob the Sterminator Sturm out of Lynchburg. Just 1 year later, Sturm would be paired with Dan McDowell. And these three would set.
My arrival in Dallas was literally 2 weeks after he was drafted. And then that was, of course, the shortened season because of the strike or lockout of 98-99. So, yeah, the whole Dirk project is pretty much happening in the spring of the year that our show was born, that June. So I think Dirk's first game for the Mavericks was probably late January or February of 1999. And then our show went on the air 4 months later. And, yeah, you could say the span of our show is pretty much the span of his career. So the symmetry works out real well.
I had never really heard of him at all. I didn't know who he was at all. I'd heard of Tractor Trailer, and I knew some trade had happened, but, you know, that was the day and age where you didn't hear of any Euro players. And I wasn't here in 98 when he was drafted. So it was the summer of 99 that, you know, he was a 1 year veteran, but he was still just 19 years old. And yeah, I interviewed him on the practice court. I remember him sitting there with ice on both of his knees.
And I was just thinking, this guy's 19, and his knees are so effed up, he's not going to make it.
Following the older guys. You know, I was watching, everybody does that, so okay. I guess I got to do that.
You know, he was an interesting guy, but also we had heard enough about the Euro, the next big superstar, to realize no Euro was ever going to be the next big superstar. He wasn't going to pan out. Tony Kukoc was overbilled. All the other guys they threw out there were fine, complimentary pieces, but they were never guys that were going to, you were going to build a team around.
More than anything, it was just a curiosity of what would it be like to have, I think Dan and I were both kind of into this, I guess we still are, isn't it kind of fun to talk to foreign-born athletes? And that started probably with Dirk, but since it has gone from Roddy Beaubois to Yuri Letnin to Sergei Zubov to Jerkson Profar and just anyone who rolls into town who wasn't born here, we want to talk to them, and we just want to hear funny accents and ask them real stereotypical questions about Germany or whatever the case may be. So That's the background. Is he had a funny accent and he was a first round pick, and let's get him in studio and see if he's fun to mess with. And he was. He had a good personality. He wasn't, you know, wasn't the most comfortable in the world, but he also wasn't a real quiet 19-year-old. He, you know, he would play around with us, and so we wanted to have him back the next year, and then the next year, and you know, by his third season. Now we're friends.
Yeah, we go way back, you know. Bob always annoys me with his soccer question.
I mean, that's unbelievably neat, is that one of your friends that you goof about their soccer team happens to be Dirk. And so, yeah, I suppose that's one of those Lynchburg moments that you never thought would really happen, but it does. And so now when I actually see him, he throws a Liverpool jab at me.
And Dan always comes up with the weirdest stuff.
Who has more rednecks, Dallas or Fort Worth?
What is rednecks?
Kind of hillbilly. You know what a hillbilly is?
Yeah.
Kind of like
cowboys or what?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, cowboys.
I don't know. I never was so far in Fort Worth. So.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't see so many here in Dallas, so I guess more than Fort Worth. I heard of this one disco they have in Fort Worth where only those cowboys go or whatever, this big one.
Oh, really?
You don't know?
You been there yet?
No.
No, I'm kind of new to the area, too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, I don't know.
So I feel like this is part of my culture here. Bob and Dan once a year go to the studio, and it's always fun. I mean, you know, it's different questions than just... You know, after the game question, how did you feel out there? What did you see? So it's, you know, it goes a little deeper, and it's fun stuff over the years, and I enjoy it.
I'm Dan, and this is Bob, and this is Donovan, to reintroduce ourselves.
I like it.
We're old friends, aren't we? You don't want this to end, do you?
No, never.
This is a tradition unlike any other.
Annual thing. This is like Thanksgiving.
Yeah, are you comfortable getting it over with early in the season this year, or do you need us to come back?
It doesn't matter, whatever you guys want.
All right.
Maverick's longtime PR director, Sarah Melton.
I think once he started becoming a regular all-star, you know, like 3-4 years into his Mavs career, he got so much more comfortable with the local media in general, especially, you know, guys like Bob and Dan, you know, that may ask him some tough questions and, you know, he could roll with it a little bit easier. So basically, you know, that, you know, 2003, 2004, 2005, you know, those were big years.
Yeah, but we just got to stop the bleeding tomorrow, and then we'll be okay.
Yeah, you'll be fine. You got us. You got a visit from us. It'll propel
that's
you.
That's what
to
I needed.
We're the slump busters.
I was a little down. I didn't sleep well. And then Sarah's like, you forgot you got Bob and Dan today. I was like, oh, hell no. No, but then...
That's all right. That's the reaction most of our guests have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Find out they're on with it.
And if you don't know Sarah, the Mavs PR girl for so long, I feel like she's been here almost during the entire life of this Dirk tradition. And just to hear her join Dirk, I'm sure at first because she wasn't quite sure how it was going to go. But then I think just because she legitimately enjoys being around for when we talk with Dirk, and her laugh in the background is so signature, and so many people ask, who is that girl and why is she laughing? All, you know, it's one of the great PR people in our city. And she obviously helps make this possible. And then her laugh is audible for anyone.
I'm sure. I get text messages when he's on with you guys. Like, my friends are like, I can hear you. This is awesome. I love it when you're in studio. It's gotten me in trouble all my life, but it is. It's part of me.
Sarah has me running circles here this year. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm trying whatever
Come on, Sarah.
But.
So the one thing that I always remember is when Dan was reading a book on Hitler, I guess, and he decided to talk to me about that time, which was a little weird. But, you know, Dan is just Dan being Dan. You know, just whatever is on his mind is coming out of his mouth.
Is Eva Braun a sex symbol in Germany? Or
Eva who?
Eva Braun. Isn't that Hitler's mistress? Isn't that her name? Eva Braun? No?
Oh, I don't know her.
Oh, okay. I always see these documentaries on Hitler, and they always show that he died with Eva Braun.
I'm not really into this Hitler thing, so no.
It kind of fascinates people in the U.S. What about when you're growing up in history class and stuff? Do they spend a lot of time on that?
Well, usually not. You know, we have so other great history, not really that Hitler thing. So that's a black part in German history. So we don't really get into that so much.
Okay, well, Dirk, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate
it. Thank you.
All right, that's Dirk Nowitzki here on the Wednesday. Excuse me?
Nowitzki.
Nowitzki?
No,
I thought.
Not Nowitzki, it's no N. So oh. Nowitzki.
Nowitzki.
Yeah.
The Eva Braun reference that he claimed he had never heard of Eva Braun. I don't know if I buy that. Can you grow up in Germany and never have heard of Eva Braun? But again, he's a 19-year-old who's just trying to figure out, you know, the difference between 35 and 35W. So he probably didn't want to wade into any Hitler waters as a kid.
Honestly, the incident that comes to mind and wondering if this was going to ruin everything was one of Grubbs' first few years when we're having a nice conversation with our friend. But it's also clearly, we learned over the course of time, as you would expect, that the young German does find our Hitler fascination as Americans to be really weird and something they kind of skipped over in class for the most part. So when Grubbs fired off the Hitler song right during one of our visits,
Schumacher is definitely up there. Even though the last year he had wasn't very good. You know, he took a little hit there. But before that, I mean, he won like 6 or 7 world championships in a row.
Right.
That's unbelievable.
Oliver Kahn.
Kahn is up there. Ballack is up there.
Ballack. Michael Ballack. Michael Ballack. Top five. We got, can I put you
top
in there?
Yeah.
Sure.
Top five.
Oh, you have to.
I would. Yeah. I mean, I'm sitting right across from you. But I'm just saying, I don't want to get it wrong. You live in Germany, so you know. But okay. It's Dirk, it's Schumacher, it's Michael Ballack, it's Oliver Kahn. Who rounds out the top five? The biathlon guy?
I used to put Boris Becker in there, but
I guarantee at the moment I wondered if this was the end of our relationship. In fact, you can hear me nervously try to kind of cover it up and maybe get back to the script or whatever.
The Grubbs stuff was really funny, and maybe that even references when we first knew we had a year-to-year, he would reference things year-to-year, was the one year we talked about how he went and bought Grubbs' house, and then the next year he's asking where Grubbs is. And referencing that he still sleeps in his race car bed.
I got to ask you this. I don't know if we talked about this before, on the air or off the air. Have we ever talked about Dirk's house buying and how you buy a house? Do you know that? Do you know your relationship to us with your house?
I heard that. I heard about that.
Well, the guy who runs our show, all the sound effects, play a sound effect, Grubbs. Prove to Dirk that there you go. Okay.
Where's Grubbs at?
He's here, back at the station.
Hey, Dirk.
Oh, hey, how you doing?
This is Grubbs.
Nice Grubbs.
Who we understand that you...
Yeah, he talked about my house. I heard about that.
What was his house?
I never heard the interview.
Yeah, you stole it from us.
It's my house. Actually, his dad was just at the game the other day, and I walked by a Cuban suite down there, and somebody yanks me. We're getting ready to do a huddle, and he's like, "You live in my house."
He was slurring, wasn't he?
It was his dad.
So, really?
Yeah.
He grabbed you.
Yeah, I was like getting ready. You know, we do that little 1-2-3 huddle.
Right, you're trying to psych up for the game.
And yeah, I'm fired up. And he's like, "How's my house?" I was like, "What?" And it was his dad there.
Yeah, he was a little drunk. Sorry about that, Dirk.
Oh, no worries. Like, no worries.
You don't sleep in Grubbs' bunk bed,
his
right?
little race car bed that he
no,
left behind.
No, I did a little remodeling.
The race car bed thing got trashed once I bought the house. Just, this is for Grubbs, and I kept stomping on it. So, I'm glad that worked out that way, you know, that I'm living in Grubbs' house. He's a legend here in DFW Metroplex. I mean, I still get tweets sometimes, "Hey, how is living at Grubbs' house?" I mean, to this day, people just randomly. I don't know if you guys mention it on the ticket still all the time, but I get random tweets all the time about how's it in Grubbs' house. So he's a legend around here, and I'm glad I'm in his house.
Are you still in Grubbs' house?
You're staying with a friend.
Yeah, I stay with a friend. No, I'm back in my house now.
So, you're back in Groob's house with the race car?
Yeah,
back?
Oh, Groob. Yeah, where he at?
Groob's.
Hey, Dirk.
Hey, buddy.
How you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
Awesome.
How's the fam?
They're good.
Good.
So that's resetting that story again.
No. Oh,
you bought
which one?
No, not the
not the house story again. We talked about the last 2 years straight.
Well, oh, why? Do you want to talk about the whole controversy again, or
you want to get into the other story?
Yeah,
pick one, man.
Pick a story.
Controversy on the house.
Let's talk about the house.
Dirk possible baby.
Groob. So how did it go down, Groob? Let me hear it again. Did I knock on the door?
Yeah, I think you knocked on my door.
Can I buy this house?
Yeah. I got, all this money, so give me
I'm making all this money, that's what I said?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's exactly how it went.
Wasn't he spinning a basketball when he knocked on the door?
Yeah, but I think he had a gun also.
I had my jersey on.
Yeah.
Oh, full uniform.
You were wearing sweatpants, though.
And a suitcase full of money.
They still
have
the price tag on them.
I love it.
That's great.
I absolutely love it.
But I guess it's been kind of unique that his career and our career seem to be kind of the same way, and we both have grown together in our confidence, and we've grown out of the awkward stage where we're both worried about saying this or that to each other, and now it's kind of like a very friendly ball busting situation.
Well, all right, we're here with Dirk, our annual visit with Dirk on Sports Radio 13 on the Ticket. Since we only meet you every spring for 15 or 20 minutes,
10 minutes.
We have 10
minutes.
Oh,
get
us straight, Bob. 45
minutes. Well, I'd say Dan is the weird guy, the strange man with the odd questions, with a weird sense of humor, but a little off, but also funny. Bob is more the rational guy. Does that about sum it up?
Part of the deal, part of the fairy tale, right? Is getting beat over the head several years in a row and thinking you're and hearing the doubters say you'll never be the guy who can do it. I mean, isn't that really how it all works in the sports dream world?
You know, I guess that's going to just make it so much sweeter if we get it. I mean, it's going to be, you know, just a dream come true. And, you know, I said it actually 2 years ago when we made it to the finals. You know, all the stuff goes through your head. You know, all the workouts you did, all the doubters, all the stuff you did to get to this point went through my mind, and I said it, and it was great, but we didn't come up with the ultimate prize, so we're still waiting on it.
He's told us a lot of things about basketball over the years, and listening back to some of those interviews, you know, he's told us about becoming the guy on the team and a leadership role and this and that, and I remember so little of that, except for the title, when he stopped down and told us how he walked away from the podium as far as the Western Conference Championship podium. That really wasn't what he was there for. That was a story that, even when I think about it, it gives me chills.
But at that point, I didn't really feel like celebrating, you know. We had one of those trophies, and it didn't mean anything in the end, and I just felt like, you know, getting out of there and already thinking about the finals, really, because, I mean, you have to win 4 rounds to win it all, and that was only round 3, so that's how I looked at it. There was nothing really just to celebrate.
As far as a sports story, that's the one I really remember as knowing this guy is the man, and he's always been such a good dude. That's very cliche to say, but he really has. He's been very nice to the media. Probably the most down-to-earth guy that makes $20 million a year could be. And it was great to see him get that, too, from that personal standpoint.
Well, of course, the interview after the title was really, really cool because we spent a lot of time just, you know, cracking jokes and having fun. But this one was really about basketball and how he felt and how it went down. And he reached that ultimate goal and we were right there with him. And to kind of share that with him was very cool.
For me, I've worked with him, you know, all but his rookie year. So I love it because you guys talk about all sorts of old stuff that I was a part of, too. And so it's a trip down memory lane. It's a total blast. You know, you guys have gotten to see him grow up. You know, he was a kid, a teenager, and now he's married, you know, with a child. So it's really cool to see what's happened with him over this, you know, course of time.
I believe the one where we kind of unveiled that he was engaged was funny to me because I don't think he saw that coming. And you can kind of tell he didn't want to admit it, but, you know, we're just all sitting around having fun and it's the truth. So he just brought it out. So that kind of stuck out in my mind because that's probably the first time I've seen him squirm just a little bit right when it first came up.
This seems weird that this isn't all over TMZ, but it apparently is in the German websites claiming that on Valentine's Day you got engaged to your girlfriend.
The German newspapers are saying that?
Here you go.
Well, tell us what it says, actually, Dirk, because we have no idea.
Well, somebody tried to loosely translate this story for me.
No, it's actually true.
Whoa! Really?
It's true.
How come we haven't heard this?
How did that go down? What did you do? Did you?
Because that came out last. It came out last May that Dirk might have got.
Yeah, it came out. The rumor. It was basically rumored 3-4 times last year.
But it was bullsh last year.
Yes.
It was bull.
It was wrong last year, and this year it did happen. And
how does the German media get this, and none of the hounds over here?
Good question. I think everybody over here was kind of like, you know, everybody's kind of.
We're focused on Chloe?
No, I think it's been reported so many times that people felt stupid reporting again and maybe being wrong again. So I guess they waited. But, I mean, the German media reported that already right after it happened. So it's been out for a couple of weeks.
You dropped down on one knee?
Had to.
Wow. What a special moment to share with you guys. I mean, that warms my heart. You guys are always on top of your stuff. So, it's always a fun time.
I remember 2 years ago when he brought the glass of wine up. That cracked me up. I just thought that was so funny. I know there's been so many times where we sit there and laugh and laugh and laugh, but it was the day after the season ended. It was a terrible year. You know, we didn't make the playoffs for the first time in forever. And, you know, they pop a bottle in the locker room and we come upstairs. I was like, oh, that is awesome. Like, that would have never happened 10 years ago. So you can tell that he's, like, definitely relaxed around you guys now. And he can enjoy himself, you know, with a nice glass of Pinot Noir or whatever it was.
I remember that one time, I think it was after the season where we didn't make the playoffs. I came up there with some red wine in my hand. And I usually don't drink at all during the season. Maybe a glass of red wine here and there. So usually once the season's over, I want to get something in me quickly. So I figured Bob and Dan's show is perfect for it.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been around enough athletes to know that there are enough athletes that will just say, no, keep these people away from me. Or they'll sign stuff or take a picture and not even look at the person. Dirk is asking them questions. He's asking them their name. He's goofing on whatever they're wearing. He's just so cool. And so that jumps out at me.
He's just a regular dude who happens to be 7 foot tall and can really, really shoot a basketball. So once I figured that out, it was really, I started to loosen up and realize that he's just this guy that just wants to talk and have fun. And after that, it made me calm down from freaking out from the first time I saw him. But then it made me love him even more because that dude is just, he's going to be himself the whole time. And that's awesome.
He makes people feel good that they are meeting their hero for that 5 seconds in their life where their paths will cross. And Dirk won't remember it in 5 minutes, but they'll remember it for the rest of their life. And he gets that and he wants to make that 5 seconds special to them.
This is always just, you know, shooting the crap out there, like talking to some old buds.
Some old buds at the top of their game, shooting the crap at an elite level to entertain the P1s for 15 years and counting. Join us next month as we continue to celebrate 15 years of bad radio with another edition of 15 for 15.
Yeah. Well, there it is. This month's 15 for 15. The Dirk episode. Well done, Donnie Dew. Well done, Jake, who was working on that on his honeymoon, of all things.
That's super his fault. Gay.
That is his fault, but it's also weird. And
it is weird.
His marriage will always have that to remember as one of the remarkable accomplishments on the honeymoon.
Was working on a 15. Kind of looking 15.
On our website. You know what? I'll bet by the end of the day, we haven't done this yet, but I talked to Jeff about putting a Dirk link on the right.
Oh, good.
I think a lot of the Dirk interviews can be found, like classic audio.
Like
but
in their entirety?
Yeah, but... yeah, we have it in the works already to put a Dirk link, and you could hear every interview full, which we've just gone back and listened to for this. We split it up.
Yes.
I listened to like the first 3 or 4 years, which was just really weird to do.
Yes.
And really fun. It's got to be a unique situation to have a superstar of this magnitude to have a running commentary type thing like this, you know? Like,
yeah, yeah.
I know he's been on a lot of shows in the Metroplex and whatnot, but to have it all kind of organized and you can hear him, even like I think I referenced in there, like you hear him year to year and we talk basketball, we talk Hitler, we talk whatever. But
you just summarized it for the movie poster.
Right. But the first couple years and he's talking about, you know, deferring to Finley, or does he feel comfortable taking a shot at the end of a game? Like, isn't that kind of silly to think of right now? You might think, of course Dirk takes the shot at the end of the game. He's Dirk, but he was 19, and he was an unknown, and nobody was guaranteeing this guy was going to be a Hall of Famer or anything.
That's the one distinction between Dirk and Mike Modano for me, because I think the world of both of them, and of course Mike will go into the Hockey Hall of Fame on Monday night. And I obviously count it a pleasure to have enjoyed both of their championships from a very close distance and having a good relationship with both of them as a show. The difference would be that we didn't know baby Mike Modano. You know, Mike Modano's baby years happened in Minneapolis, St. Paul when I was in high school. And, you know, his career did not completely... In fact, I feel like I joined, the Mike Modano story kind of as it was reaching its pinnacle in 98 and 99. So it's there are parallels, but I feel like I have a dead space of like 10 years of Mike Modano's early career when he was, by the way, at the height of his powers. But with Dirk, I absolutely was at Reunion Arena his first year for a couple games with like 3,000 of my closest friends and just watching that ridiculous team. You remember that, Donnie?
Oh, yeah.
That lockout year, that 50-game season, I want to say, or 48. And he wasn't...
Okay, so that's why his career started in 99.
Yeah, he never
actually played in 98.
In fact, I think he stayed in Germany until the lockout was done. So I don't think he came over until January of that year, even though they drafted him and had him over and took the pictures with Steve Nash. But then I think he went back to Germany until they got the lockout done in mid-January, maybe? Something like that. And it was like the Samaki Walker-led Mavs or whatevs. But it's a long road, and let me tell you something. I know we say this about a lot of dudes, but it's going to really suck when he's done. It's gonna be fun. We're going to, you know, have our own version of the Derek Jeter goodbye, but it's really going to be weird having to watch basketball in this city without 41 in the middle of it.
It was crazy listening to the after the championship Dirk interview, where you probably expected us to just join hands and go in circles and just laugh and high five, and it was the most laid back, almost all about basketball interview we had. But it was fantastic, man, because the other ones before that, it's just trying to lead to that step. That's all
yeah.
He wanted. He got there, and it wasn't backflip. Look at us. We're the greatest. It was
right.
Just laid back chill.
That's why, you know what, some of my favorite teams since boyhood have won the Super Bowl or won championships, but I count the 2011 Mavs as like my favorite title because you can feel a dude climb the mountain. You know, it's fun to be at the stadium to see Aaron Rodgers win a Super Bowl. I'm not going to lie. But I don't know him. I don't know his struggles. I don't know the deal. And it's just we talked to this dude, and you can hear how depressed he was, like in 07 and 08. And I don't know. It's our own Rocky. And it's super cool.
His life would have been fine had they not won it all. I totally believe that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm so happy he did.
Absolutely.
And in the manner he did, against the team he did. Like, I don't think there's any Olajuwon asterisk saying Jordan was playing baseball these 2 years or something. You know, like, I don't know. It was so sweet. It was so sweet to exercise the Heat demon, and then the LeBron,
the best,
the villain of LeBron that
and
year.
That run, all the way from that, Portland. That run was
particular way they did it.
Beating up the Lakers, coming back,
retired Phil Jackson
in Oklahoma, 15 down with 5 minutes to go, and we're in the arena.
Someone should write a book.
And you know that would sell a lot.
Maybe most importantly, that
e-book.
Like, he didn't Karl Malone to the Lakers it, and he,
right.
And he certainly didn't.
Which he has said he probably would have.
Yeah.
Like, had they not won a title, you'd think about him right now, and who knows what their team, but like, he might be looking to, I'll join the Cavs for the last 2 years of my career.
And he also didn't.
Stand in the corner and
right,
make threes.
Right, so he did it here, and he didn't second or third banana. I mean, you want to talk about the biggest plays and that biggest playoff run. I mean, Dirk, his finish in game four.
Well, didn't you? It was wondered.
It was game two.
Game two off the double screen from Tyson.
We're sitting in this area where the press are, and they always tell you, don't cheer on press row. You know, everyone's working. Yeah. But they have a foul to give. He bumps Bosch a couple of times, and he didn't foul him. It just goes around him with the left-handed layup. Man, I let out a yelp like I was shot or something, man.
It's real original to say that's your favorite athlete in the city. I'm sure everyone feels that way, but he's so Dirk.
I did a Dirk YouTube thing last night. I don't know why. Me and my kid, we like the Mavs. And found a five-minute look for Dirk milestones because they just added on the, you know, passing Olajuwon one. But, you know, they were showing, like, his 1,000th point. And
his first 5,000th. Point. That was really cool.
Have you looked at that?
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah. His first point was a free throw in Milwaukee or something like
that. He's such a little baby, too.
Yeah,
his variety of facial hair or head hair.
Headband.
Is kind of amazing looking to watch him through the years.
I like bearded Dirk.
Oh, my gosh. He had the huge Donovan-y type beard.
Sasquatch Dirk. All right, well, nice job to Jake and Donovan on that 15 for 15. We hope you enjoyed it, but even if you didn't, we really, really did, and that's what matters, isn't it?
Yes, it's all about us. That's what these 15 years have taught us in the end, right?
All right, it's 2:25, and up next, we're going to pick games, and we're going to pick them till they bleed.